Let's look at some Bible, because I got something put together for you tonight. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. It was quite an experience putting it together. Turn to Exodus chapter 20. Let's pray, and then we'll see what we got for you tonight. Father, I sure do thank you for this church, our pastor, the way that you have provided for this church, this just unbelievably great offering, Lord, that we were able to take in and able to spend on your folks. And Father, we're just excited about the fact that we get to take some ownership in some of the things that they're doing, Lord. What a blessing, and something we don't even deserve. And I thank you for that. I pray that you get Pastor and Ann to their appointed destination without any more delays or trouble. And Father, I pray that you'll bless this lesson, this time in the Bible now. We're midweek, and Father, we need something to help feed us, and I pray that this will do it, and I pray that we'll all get something worthy out of it, something maybe we need to do or something that maybe we need to stop doing, but I pray that you'd speak to each one of us and individually and speak to our hearts and help us, Lord. We sure do love you, and we sure do thank you for all of it in Jesus' name. Exodus chapter 20, if you're familiar with your Bible, there's a 1 through about verse 17 is called the Ten Commandments. And in there, there's just about 10 of those thou shalt nots, and thou shalt have no other gods, and thou shalt not make this, and thou shalt not take the Lord. A whole bunch of thou shalts and thou shalt nots. And then the rest of the book, and some of Leviticus, go on to explain some other thou shalt nots. But these are the big 10. These are the ones that God put with the finger of God on the tables. These are the 10 that the Israelites were to keep. And these are the 10 commandments. Well, I got to looking for some stuff to preach and teach. And I ran across something that kind of got to me. You know, when I was growing up, around my house, you know, I don't think they were written, but there were some commandments. Okay? There were some thou shalts and thou shalt nots at my house. And they really didn't have to be taped on the wall, and they really didn't have to be written on tablets of stone. They were just pretty well understood. I don't know if my parents did exactly how God would do, but when I needed to be chastised for not keeping the commandments, I got chastised. And when I kept them, I was rewarded by not being chastised. Okay? But there was also another category of things at my house besides commandments. And I think you'll know what I'm talking about. There was times where my parents would come up to me, my mom in particular, and she would say, "You know, Randy, you ought to clean your room." Now think about that. You know, some of you men, your wife comes up to you and says, "You know, you ought to shave." Well, do you take that as a commandment? Or do you just take that as, you know, that's maybe a pretty wise thing. I might ought to try that. You think about that. You've spent your life, and maybe you've done it yourself. Of course you have. You've suggested to people you ought to do this or you ought not to do that. And so I looked up the phrase ought to. Oh my, I'm going to give you tonight the 10 ought to's in the Bible. Okay? Turn to, and I just, to make it easy, there's no hierarchy here in these 10 ought to's. We're just going to go in chronological order so you can find them easy enough. Turn to Acts chapter 5. And we're going to look at lots of verses, but that's that's just the way I do it, because the Bible's a lot more of an authority than I. I am no authority. So if I can show you in the Bible where it says something, I tend to do better. Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, you got Peter, and he has been... Peter and I think James is with him, and they've been imprisoned and they've been let out of prison. In verse 19, the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go and stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And they went ahead and did it, and they'd been warned not to do it. And then look in verse 28, and after they'd been warned, it says, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." They are not happy about them preaching and teaching the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 29 is our first ought to. Verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So the first ought to of Randy's 10 ought to's is you ought to obey God rather than man. The Peter and the apostles here, they chose, knowing that they were going to get in trouble, knowing that they were going to have a hard time or some chastisement or some punishment, they chose to obey God rather than man. Look in, you're in Acts chapter 5, look in verse 40. It says, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles, that's Gamaliel gave them some advice, and when they had called the apostles, they beaten them and had beaten them. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. When's the last time you did that one? Yeah. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus. You know, we ought to, every one of us, we ought to obey God rather than man. And a lot of times we're worried about chastisement, we're worried about embarrassment, and truly, it hadn't come, and you ought to pray that the day never comes that we are going to have this kind of treatment for when we preach the name of Jesus. We are in a blessed place. We pray every week that pray for our authorities that we can live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. And today you got to do that. Now, Peter, they were getting beaten for doing what we do and take for granted. So we ought to do those things. Turn to Proverbs 29. This obeying God rather than man. Look at one more verse. The thing about this deal is, if you're watching your watch or you got something going on, I'm going to give you 10 of them, and we're on number one, okay? So if you can turn fast, we can get this done. Chapter 29 of Proverbs, look in number 25, verse 25. We all know this. It says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. And I can guarantee you that that is the truth. I have never proved it wrong. Every time I have bowed down and had a fear of man and what he thinks instead of what God thinks, guess who is the right decision? It doesn't say may bring a snare. It says the fear of man bringeth a snare. And you're putting your foot in a snare every time you decide to fear a man and obey man rather than God. So our first deal here, and we'll look at the second part of the verse. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso put his trust in the Lord shall be what? Safe. Safe. So you got a choice. You can put yourself where you're safe by trusting in the Lord and obeying God like we ought to, or you can put yourself and have a fear of man and put yourself in a snare. It's pretty simple. Now, it's not one of the Ten Commandments, but it's something you ought to do, okay? Look at number two, Acts chapter 20. I can tell you're liking this already. Acts chapter 20. Paul is giving the charge to the elders at Ephesus, and he's telling them all about the ministry and how they ought to be overseers and feed the church of God, and going along pretty good there. And you get to verse 33, and Paul says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. Then he says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered to my necessities and to them that were with me. Paul was a tent maker, and wherever he went, he earned a living while he preached, and he took no money from the people he was preaching to there. Several times the Philippian church and stuff sent money to help him along the way, but he was preaching somewhere else. And he wanted to tell them right now, I have coveted no man's silver and gold or apparel. Look in verse 35. I have showed you all things how that so laboring ye, look at here, ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's kind of one of those strange occurrences in the Bible because that's the only place it is. And Paul related that that's what Jesus said. that it's more blessed to give than receive. So the next thing we ought to do, it's not one of the Ten Commandments, but it's something we ought to do, is give. We ought to give. We ought to support the weak. Now that doesn't mean, I looked all day long, I couldn't find anywhere in here where it says I'm supposed to support the lazy. Okay? But it has a lot to do in here how I'm supposed to, like Paul, I'm supposed to work and I'm supposed to help others. It's one of the reasons I'm supposed to work. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. No, chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we'll just read a little bit here in verse 7. He's talking to the Thessalonica's church. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow up. Here's another ought to. Look at that. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable of any of you. Just like I said. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Can somebody call Washington, D.C.? Okay, you know, in the last days thing, the good is going to be evil and the evil is going to be good. They don't understand this concept, if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. And then he exhorts them, now them that are such, we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Paul is telling Thessalonians, and he's telling us, and I'm telling you, that God expects us to work. He expects us to work, and the reason he expects us to work is truly, the big part of it is so you will have to give and to help others. Imagine that. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. That's exactly what he said. You see, lots of us, and I've been there and done it. My plan in business was to make money, be able to, first rule in business, make money and be able to pay the IRS. Okay, you don't have to pay you don't have to make your payroll. Okay, those guys will forgive you. They'll wait till Monday. But the IRS won't. Okay, any of y'all are in business know this, okay? But you make money, you pay the IRS, and then you pay the comptroller of the state of Texas. Okay. Then you pay your vendors and your men and stuff. And then in that plan somewhere, you got in there where you want to bank some money so when you get old you don't have to work. It's called retirement and planning, okay? Well, God, look what God says here. Verse 28. Paul's in a little rundown here in 26. He says, be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. He's given some quick commands. Then he says, but rather, let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. Why? That he may have to give to him that needeth. You know what the second ought to is? The first one is you ought to obey God rather than men. The second one is you ought to give. You ought to give. You ought to have part of your life and part of your budget arranged so that that money that you're making, that by the way, God gives thee the power to get wealth, something like that, Deuteronomy. But when you get that money, that you've got a certain amount of it that you plan on giving. You're giving. And I can guarantee you can't outgive God. Number three, ought to, Romans chapter 12. These are not commandments. These are just things you ought to do. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, though through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know what? Humility is something that you ought to have. You ought to not think of yourself higher than you should. Humility. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. He said in here, in this verse, it says, well, on your way over there, go ahead and keep going. But in the verse we were in Romans, he says, through the grace given unto me. Okay, look in 1 Peter chapter 5. There's something that ties humility and grace. They're tied together. Peter is kind of, he's kind of pretending he's Paul here, and he's given some different exhortations and commands as he goes along here. And in verse 5, he says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder." Then he says, "Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." Think about that. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." You don't want to get the grace of God? How many of y'all, I know there's not a one of you that could get through today. You couldn't even get home tonight without the grace of God, okay? And I will take all of it I can get. And if you don't want your share, let me know, okay? I'll be glad to come around behind you and pick it up. I can't get enough of the grace of God. And the way that you get this is being humble. God resisteth the proud. I can witness that, okay? I've tried it that way, and it's not a good way to do. So something we ought to do is be humble. It's the key to the grace of God. Turn to Galatians chapter 6, one more verse on this one. We ought to be humble. Galatians chapter 6, just look in verse 3. "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." One thing that's true about every prideful man, that he fools only himself. Okay, every one of you in here can identify pride quickly. But the one that has it doesn't even know they have it. It's an amazing thing. And so when you're prideful, you're giving up on a lot of the grace of God, but also you're deceiving yourself according to the Bible. Okay, so we got three down. Obey God rather than man, give, and humility. Look at Romans 15. Another ought to. Romans 15, verse 1. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." You know, we ought to put others first. We ought to put others first. It's not a command of God, but it's something that we ought to do. And it's a concept today that is totally 180 degrees off of the world. This is the I, this is the me generation. And to tell someone you ought to put someone else first is just foreign, unless you believe your Bible. And I happen to believe my Bible. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I truly believe that we're in the last times. I would like this to be the last time. I'd really like to say amen tonight, and I'd like to beat every one of y'all out of here, okay? I'd love to hear the trumpet. I'd love to hear my name. I don't care about yours. I just want to hear my name, and I'm out of here, okay? But I believe we're there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, talking about this is the sign of the times. It just, you didn't listen to the intro. It just says you ought to. I'm a work in progress. Okay? It's not a commandment. It's just something you ought to do. All right, put others first. Man, I always have a mocker out there. I think it says something about this in the verse, by the way. Chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, "This know also, that in the last day perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. There we are, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, oh my, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's the world that we live in. We're in the last times, and putting others first is not what this world is about today. But Jesus Christ put others first. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. We've got the greatest example of that in our Lord. Philippians chapter 2, look in verse 3. Philippians 2, 3 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Then look what Jesus did. "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen. We've got a perfect example of putting others first. Okay, that was 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, we're almost halfway. Ephesians chapter 6. Another ought to. Ephesians chapter 6. Paul here has given us lineup of the whole armor of God. And we're not going to read all that. We'll just jump in there in about verse 18. The last part of it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me." Paul's asking prayer for him. Why? "That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of God." He is asking for courage. He's asking for boldness to be able to open his mouth. Verse 20, "For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly," "as I ought to speak." You know what? We ought to speak boldly. We ought to speak boldly. This talks of courage. This doesn't talk of going to see if you can get yourself arrested. Or this doesn't talk of seeing if you can go over and just crush somebody with the gospel and stomp them with the Bible until they get saved. That's not what boldness is. Boldness here is the courage, and if any of y'all have ever passed out a track, you know it takes courage. And the way you get this courage, he asked for it through prayer, okay? Turn to Acts chapter 4. In the beginning, the disciples, you know, the apostles, they're not well liked, running around here turning the world upside down, preaching Jesus Christ. And they get arrested, and first of all, you know, when people look at it, one of the hardest things, pastor has done this. He was a bank president in Beeville, Texas, you know, way up here up on the social ladder, and God gets a hold of him, and he gets a hold of the Bible, and he goes off to Bible school, and he comes back, and now all of a sudden, the bank president is down at the holding scripture signs and street preaching, and people look at him like, what's going on here? But he got a boldness somewhere. Look at when the disciples and the apostles started doing this in chapter 4, verse 13. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled." Stop right there. These were a bunch of just commercial fishermen. They, you know, people thought, you know, if they could catch a fish or tie a net, that was about the limit of their deal. And now they're out here preaching Jesus Christ boldly. And these folks, these Sadducees and priests and scribes, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them. that they had been with Jesus. You know what this boldness shows? It shows that you have fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's where you get this boldness. You're not going to get bold enough to go out and talk to your relatives or talk to your neighbors or talk to your employees if you don't have good fellowship with Jesus Christ. It goes together, okay? Once they did that, you're in chapter 4, go to verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. You know, this, your boldness to witness and to you know, the point of my deal was here, you know, we ought to speak boldly. We ought to have courage. You're going to get that through fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to get that through prayer and the Holy Spirit. That's how you're going to get it, because you don't have it, and I don't have it. That's where it comes from. And if it comes from those two sources, it's going to be just like Peter and John. People are going to look at you and know that that ain't you, that that's God, and that's what we're supposed to do. That's something we ought to do. Next one, Colossians chapter 4. Y'all getting enough stuff you ought to do? Let's pick it up in verse 3, Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. With all praying also for us that God would open to us a door of utterance. He was talking in the other passage about to the Galatians about giving, praying for me so I can have boldness. Well, he's talking to the Colossians here, and he's saying, pray also for us that God would open to us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them without and redeem the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye, here it is again, ought to answer every man. You know, the other point was speak boldly. That talks to the courage. This one is you ought to be able to tell somebody what you believe. This talks more not to the boldness and the courage, but more to the ability or the skills or the knowledge that you need. Now, in Acts chapter 1, all the Lord requires of any of us is to be a witness. And a witness in a court of law can only do one thing and tell the judge what you know. Okay? And all God is asking any of us to do when he says, be therefore witnesses, is to go out and tell them what you know. Now, I know, like me, I reached a point in my life where I wanted to be able to tell them more. So what did I need to do? I needed to learn more. I needed to learn more Scripture. I needed to have a better understanding of the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 3. We ought to be able to tell somebody what you believe. It's not a commandment, but you ought to be able to. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. We'll pick up verse 14. But if ye suffer for righteous sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. It's talking about that boldness that you need to talk to other people. Verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. You know, we ought to be able to explain to somebody or tell somebody what you believe. You ought to have the ability. Right here it says we ought to have to be able to tell somebody that asks us the reason for the hope that's in us. That's not hard to do. And that's something that you ought to be able to learn fairly quickly through the Bible. And I'm talking to the Wednesday night crowd of Bible Believers Church. There's not a one of you in here that doesn't have an idea of somehow if somebody that didn't know Jesus Christ was to walk up and ask you, what is this that you believe? You ought to be able to tell them, I believe this, and the hope that I have in eternal life is based on this. It's real simple, and it's something that we ought to do. We ought to do. You can look at, here's one part that I want to kind of hurry. Let's see. Yeah, I want to hurry this up and get through this. You can look, these notes will be on the internet, but turn to Titus chapter 3. I want to make one point on that. You're in Peter, back up to Titus. Titus chapter 3, And we're in the subject of talking to others about what you know and having the boldness to be able, and the courage to be able to do that. Look in verse 9, chapter 3, verse 9. Here's some of this ought to stuff. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted, that means he's destroyed, and sinneth because he condemneth of himself, being condemned of himself. Just quickly, you can learn it now, you can learn it later. But there are certain people that you're going to want to talk to, or there are certain people that will come ask you for the reason of the hope that's within you. And they got no intentions of wanting to know what you know. Their intentions is to tell you what they know. Okay? Milton and I knocked on the door during Fishers of Men, and the grand poopah of the Jehovah Witnesses answered the door. Okay? I mean, he wasn't in costume, but he was the grand dragon. Whatever. I don't know. What is the big guy? Okay? He answered the door, and he did not want to hear anything about the gospel. He wanted to tell me. And the Bible says after the first or second admonition, you can give him one try, you can give it two tries. But at that point, you're wasting his time and yours. And a lot of time, I see this happen, and the reason I'm telling you this, in May, we're going to go to the Buccaneer Day Parade. And a lot of y'all have done that, where we go out before the parade and we go down the parade route and we just pass out tracts. And if people will listen, we'll talk to them a little bit. And if not, the thing is to sow the seed. And it happens almost every time we do it. Someone will have the desire and the want to and think that they ought to go out and tell people what they know. And they're ready and they're prayed and they're prayed up and they'll go out and they will get entangled with one of these people, a heretic, somebody that does not want to know about Jesus Christ. They want to argue with you. And you know what happens? You stay there and spend all your time talking to a heretic, and somebody down that parade route really needed that track or really needed that witness, and the devil has used that to divert you from where you needed to be. And I see it happen all the time. And so I'm just warning you there. And Paul was trying to warn Titus of the same thing. Be careful of that. Let's move on. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Another ought to. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. You know what? The next thing, you ought to have a God-pleasing walk. It wasn't one of the Ten Commandments, but you learn here all the time the things that please God. And truly, we ought to have, as Bible Believer Baptist Church, we ought to have a God-pleasing walk. You know, Jesus Christ in John chapter 8 said, I do always those things that please him. Man, I'd love to be able to say that. I can't say that. But I have a desire to be that way, and that's what we ought to do. In Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says, for without faith it is impossible to please him. So your faith is something that you need to work on and build, because that's makes it possible for you to please God. And then finally, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that we are to walk by faith and not sight. And that's one of the hard ones. That's one of the hard ones, because God gave us a set of eyes, and he gave me one, and I tend to want to use them a lot more than just the belief that what he said is true and that he's going to come through on his promises. We all got that little thing in us where it's a lot easier to believe what we see than what we don't see. And so we ought to have a God-pleasing walk. Guess what? There's only two more, three more. But I'm going to go fast. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore, we ought to Give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. You know what? We ought to have more diligence and commitment to the things of God. We ought to be more diligent and more committed to do the things that we hear. You need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Turn to Philippians 4. You'll never find Philippians 9. Yeah. Unless you've got a wrong Bible. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Those things which Paul is telling the Philippians, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. I mean, that's pretty simple, isn't it? What you've seen me do, what you've received from me and you've learned from me and you've heard from me and you've seen me do, you do it. And the God of peace shall be with you. I mean, it's very, very simple. If you don't have diligence and commitment, that other verse said, lest we let them slip. That's backsliding. You know, backsliding doesn't come along instantly. Backsliding is like that proverbial frog in the boiling pot of water. You throw the frog in there, he jumps out. You know, none of us are just going to walk out the door and instantly backslide. Backsliding comes one little bitty step at a time. And if we're not diligent and know that, believe me, it can happen to any one of us. You can get discouraged, you can get mad at God, or you can just get lazy. And the first thing that'll go is, well, I'll get to my Bible reading, or I'll pray later, or that, and you just start losing interest. Talking about slipping, turn to Psalms 26. Just a few things we ought to do. Psalms 26, verse 1. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. You know, if you put your trust in the Lord and you're diligent and you're committed, you're not going to slide. You're not going to backslide. You're in Psalms, go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, look in verse 31. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The more committed and the more diligent you can be about that stuff that's in that Bible and the stuff that you know God wants you to do, and you do it, like Paul asked him to, the more you can be blessed by God, you can be not backslidden. That's diligence, commitment. Two more, Hebrews chapter 5. Ought to's. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. It says, For when the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You know what God thinks we ought to do? We ought to grow. I mean, he loved every one of us enough to save us just like we were. But he also loves us enough to not want us to leave us there. He wants us to grow. In 1 Peter 2:2, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. You grow reading this book. Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's see if I can get there. He ends the chapter, chapter 3. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to be growing. You don't need to be stagnant. You don't need to have any dead leaves or dead limbs. We don't need Doyle and Donna coming around having to vacuum up after you. Okay? We need to be growing Christians, okay? Last one, James chapter 4. The 10 ought to's. Obey God rather than man. We ought to give. We ought to be humble. We ought to put others first. We ought to speak boldly with courage. We ought to be able to tell someone else what we believe. We ought to have a pleasing walk with God. We ought to have diligence and commitment to the things of God. We ought to grow. And finally, James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, tomorrow, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. What that says there is we ought to not have any presumptions. And God calls that boasting. When we have our own plans, they're saying we'll go to another city and we'll do this and we'll do that. There's a phrase that you hear a lot in Christianity. It's, I'm going to be there tomorrow, Lord willing. Now, if you don't just say that, you don't just start tacking a Lord willing on the end of every sentence so that you can fulfill the 10th ought to, okay? Truly, we ought to have in our heart somewhere the mindset that God just gave you the last breath you took by the grace of God. And the things that you plan to do tonight or plan to do tomorrow or plan to do 10 years from now, it's Lord willing that happens. And what he's saying is, he said it right there in verse 15, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. He means that. We ought to be saying those things because of the next verse. But now ye rejoice in your boasting if you take things for granted and presume them. And he says, all such rejoicing is evil. That's not good. So saying Lord willing when you do something and meeting it actually puts it all in God's hands. And that's where he wants you. So I hope that these 10 ought to's, and believe me, there's a whole bunch more. I didn't even get to the ought nots. We may have a series if Pastor doesn't come back on ought nots. But these are 10 ought to's. They're not commandments, but they're things that you ought to do. Okay? Father, I thank you for the day. I thank you for the way that you take care of this church and take care of me personally. And Father, you're so good to us. And Father, I just want to do anything you think I ought to do. And so I pray that you'll help me with this list and anything else I read in that book, that you'll help me do the best I can to please you, to have that God-pleasing walk. And I pray that you'll help everybody in here with the same thing. And we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.